We would like to thank Karen and Jake Abelovitz for sponsoring this morning's Locks and Learn Iloy Nishmas, Jake's beloved parents, Eliyahu ben Abba and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother, Yeshua ben Shimon Dov. The neshama should have an Aliyah. We are continuing. We are in Mishnah 4 of Chapter 4. The first part of the Mishnah is what we spent the past 2 weeks talking about in terms of being very, very humble. The Mishnah then continues. The Mishnah then continues with what seems to be a totally different subject from a totally different person. And that's where we're going to start off reading. As we read it, we'll see if there's a connection perhaps between this and being humble. Some commentators do make that connection, so start thinking about that. And then as we read the Mishnah, think about what exactly does it mean, because it might be counterintuitive to stuff we already know from other places. So let's jump in. Source number one, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says, Kol ha-mechalol shem shamayim b'seiser nifroin mimenu b'galui. Somebody who desecrates, who profanes Hashem's name in private, it will be, the punishment for that will be out in the open. Echad shogeg ve'echad mezid b'chilul Hashem. As well as the fact that whether or not you have done your act of chilul Hashem by accident, or unwittingly, or wittingly, it is the same. So, question number one. What is Chilul Hashem? Right, what do you think of when you think of Chilul Hashem?
Something public.
Right? Behave yourself nicely in public so people don't judge you or judge the Jewish people. So what does that mean if you are Mechalol Shem Shamayim Baseser, right? In private. Doesn't make sense. Our definition of Chilul Hashem, at least the way we think about it, is that it's public. So how are you? What are you telling me in private? So that's going to be one big question that we're going to have to understand. And then the second question, that the second half of the Mishnah seems unfair to some extent. I didn't mean to. I didn't do it on purpose. It was an accident, this Chilul Hashem. So you're going to tell me, Echad Shogig Be'echad Mezid B'Chilul Hashem. So number one is that I did it by accident. Why are you telling me it's the same as if I did it on purpose? Number two is that what's the same? It's really a more important question. What's the same? We're saying they're the same. They're the same for what? So is it they're the same
for the punishment?
That your punishment of Chilul Hashem is the same whether or not you do it on purpose or by accident? Or what's another option? Meaning there's no practical difference in the real world whether or not you did it on purpose or did it by accident. Okay, so meaning think of the consequences, but I did it. Okay, but then we go back to the question, but I did it by accident, so what do you want me to do? But we'll get there, yeah. Who says it doesn't count as a sin? But either way, the point is that we still haven't defined what Chilul Hashem is, right? So there are definitely things that you can do. There are definitely things that you can do in private that would not be considered a Chilul Hashem. Not every aveira is a Chilul Hashem. Otherwise, there'd be no concept of Chilul Hashem. Just like it's just an aveira. Anytime you do a sin, you're doing Chilul Hashem. So that can't be so expansive that anything you do is considered a Chilul Hashem. Rather, there has to be another criteria here. We usually think that criteria is that it's done some level of in public. But here we have an indication that there is a criteria, there is a concept of Chilul Hashem, even in private, and that's what we're going to have to understand. So, So meaning Rabbi Shalom is saying it didn't have to repeat the word Chilul Hashem. It could have said Echad Shogeg Ve'Echad Mezid, right? And we would have known it's talking about Chilul Hashem. Although if it didn't say Chilul Hashem, you would ask Echad Mezid Ve'Echad Shogeg Ve'Echad. Why does it say Chilul Hashem? So you can't win. These Tanaim had it hard. Okay, so now let's jump in. Let's start with source number two. So source number two is a relatively large Gemara, although it reads relatively quickly, that has to do with Chilul Hashem. And it gives us examples from different sages of the Talmud as to what they understood Chilul Hashem is. And from this, we're going to start even building our questions even more. Where do we get our concept of Chilul Hashem? So here's the Gemara, source number two. It's It's a very Yom Kippur related Gemara, which has its ramifications for Tisha B'Av as well. So Shaul Rav Masya ben Feresh you have on the right hand side is the Aramaic, the left hand side is a translation from the Sansino Gemaras. Shaul Rabbi Masya ben Feresh is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Baromi. Rav Masya ben Feresh asked Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah in Rome, Shmas Arba Chalukei Kapara, Sherbi Shmal Doresh, have you heard about the four different types of atonement or types of sins that require atonement that Rabbi Shmuel used to speak about? So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah responds, Amar Shloshe. It's not four, it's three. V'tshuva im kol echad ve'echad. And each type of sin has its possibility of obtaining, of doing tshuva. So what are these different categories of sin? So category number one, Avar al asay bishav, if you violate a positive commandment and do tshuva, eino zaz misham ad shemoch lomo. You're done. You're forgiven. If you violate an asa, you don't put on tefillin one day for a man, then you violated that. You do tshuva, sincere tshuva, then it's over. It's forgotten about. Shenamar, and it quotes a pasuk, shuvu banim shovim. That's category one. Category two, avar alo ta'aseh va'asa tshuva. Now you do something wrong. You violate a commandment. Not that you don't do a positive commandment, but you do a negative commandment. So tshuva tola, you do tshuva, but that's not enough. The tshuva hangs in abeyance. V'yom HaKippur mechaper. And then when Yom Kippur comes, you get the atonement for that lo ta'aseh, that negative commandment that you performed. Shenemar, v'yom hazeh yechaper lechem mikol chatosechem. That's what Yom Kippur is for. So you don't need Yom Kippur for ases. You get the kapara just with tshuva. For lo ta'aseh, for negative commandments, you have to do tshuva, and then your atonement comes on Yom Kippur. That's category three. Category three. We're getting a little more serious now. Avar al krisos umisos basin. You violated a commandment that has a punishment with it, that you get kare, so your early death, or misos basin, or that early death from shemayim, so it's not punishable in courts, or it is punishable in courts, you get the death penalty in courts. So you do one of these sins, va'asa tshuva. And you did tshuva, so now what happens? Where does your atonement come from? So the Gemara says, tshuva v'yom HaKippurin tolin. You have to do tshuva. You have to wait for Yom Kippur. And then where does your atonement come from? Where are you cleansed from? Not quite. V'yisurin mimarakim. The suffering will cleanse you. So now you need tshuva, Yom Kippur, and Yisurim. Shenamar, as it quotes in the Pasuk, V'kad b'sheva pish'am v'negayim avonam. That's category three. Now, even though he said that there's only three, he adds a fourth here. Aval, mi sheyesh bo, mi sheyesh chilul Hashem b'yado. Worse than all the other categories until now. Mi sheyesh chilul Hashem b'yado. Ein lo koach b'tshuva litlos. Tshuva's not enough. The lo b'yom HaKippurim l'chaper, Yom Kippur is not enough. The lo b'yisurin l'marik, and yisurin, suffering is not enough. Ella, kulan tolin, you go through all of that, your tshuva, Yom Kippur, your suffering, umisa mimarekis, only through death can you become cleansed from that sin. Shenemar b'nigla bozne Hashem tzvakosi m'chaper avon hazeh lachem ad tamosu. Right, so chil Hashem is hanging over you for the rest of your life. Now, to be clear, is that this is not clear. We don't really know how punishment works, right? So we have ideas here, we're told, but what exactly, how does it happen? What does suffering mean? What does it mean that God now cleanses me and then I go to Shemayim? It sounds like this. Okay, so I die and I'm good, right? So what does that mean? Where's, Gehenim come into play, and where does Olam Haba come into play? We're not talking about that. So there's still a lot to understand in terms of how punishment works. For our purposes now, it's very clear that Chilul Hashem is really, really, really bad. So now the question is, what is a Chilul Hashem? I just told you it's really bad, but what is it? So the Gemara says, Heichi Dami Chilul Hashem. Now you would think that the answer to this is going to be a severe, obvious sin. That's what a Chilul Hashem is. It's worse than a sin that gets you krisus umisus based in. So this is going to be like a glaring, obvious problem. Look at the examples. Amar Rav. Rav says, Kigon Ana, like us, if we did the following. I shakilna bisra mitabcha lo yahivna dame la altar. If we took food. We went to the butcher, and we took a pound of pot roast, and we didn't pay right away. That's a chilul Hashem. That's a chilul Hashem. So keep going. Amar Abaye, lo shanu ela ba'asra de lo tabi. Ba'asra de tabi leislan ba. So it depends on the circumstance. If the butcher allows it, if he lets you put it on credit, that's fine. Even though, right, the point shouldn't be lost on you that this is still a pretty weak example of a sin in our mind. We wouldn't have thought this is a chilul Hashem, that you didn't pay right away. Okay, next, Amar Ravina, another example. Umasa machsaya asra titabi. So he's just giving you examples of different commonplace economical transactions that were around during the day. In this place, whether they pay them, they don't pay them, you got to go through each place. So Abaye, kidishakil bistra mitre shutbe, yayiv zuza lahai, bezuza lahai. So if Abaye was buying from a partnership, so he would give money to each one. He would give equal money to each one. And he would make a calculation as to making sure that everybody's accounts are squared off. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kigon Anam Dimasigidna Arba Amos Belo Torah Belo Tefillin. Rabbi Yochanan says, what does it mean for a chilul Hashem for me? Is it if I walked four amos, four cubits, without saying a word of Torah or without wearing tefillin? That's a chilul Hashem for Rabbi Yochanan. Yitzchak debay Rabbi Yanai Amar. Yitzchak, the son of the house of Rabbi Yanai, said, Kol shechaverov misbaishin machmas shmuaso hainu chilul Hashem. So here's a little bit more, perhaps, up our alley. We might have intuited to some extent this. If when my friends hear about what I did, they're going to be like ashamed or embarrassed because of what I did. So now it depends. That's a little more subjective. What did I do? What did I not do? But if it's going to cause, now we have a public element here. There are other people hearing and listening, and it's going to embarrass them. That's a chilul Hashem. And then he continues, Haidu chilul Hashem, Misor Shas Hechidami, Amr of Nachar Yitzhak, Gondaka, Amri Inshi, Sarale, Mare, Le, Panya. So if people say, may Hashem forgive so-and-so, right? May God have mercy on his soul, right? So that's if they say that, that means that what you did is really bad. Now, Abaye is going to give another example here. Abaye Amar, Kiditanya, Vahatas Hashem Elokecha, the Pasuk says, love Hashem, Sheishem Shemayim is Ayyav al Yadecha, that the name of Hashem should be beloved through you. Shehei Kore Vishone Mishamish Tamidei Chachamim, we should learn, we should hang out and learn from Tamidei Chachamim. V'emaso matano v'nachas imabrios, we should have nice dealings with other people. Ma'abrios omros alav, and other people will say to us, Ashrei aviv shalom del Torah, praiseworthy is his father who taught him Torah. Ashrei rabo shalom del Torah, praiseworthy is his Rebbe who taught him Torah. Oylem labrios shalom del Torah, ploni shalom del Torah, ro kamanayim drachim, kamen mitukan of masav, alav akasav omer, v'yom li av v'yata yisrael asher b'cha espa'er. So you look at this guy and you say, how awesome is it? His teachers are great, his parents are great, and you know what? If somebody's not like him, they're really losing out because he's awesome. We should really follow his role model. Aval, that's the good side. Aval. Mishakor Bishonim Mishamash Tamil Chachamim. Notice, who are we talking about? People who are learning. People who are being Mishamish Tamil Chachamim. So these are people, quote unquote, in yeshiva students. Ve'ein maso matanu be'amuna, but then they're not ethical. They're not nice. They don't deal with people in a proper fashion. Ve'ein dibro b'nachas imabrios. They don't speak nicely. Ma'abrios. So what do people say about them? Ma'abrios omros alav oylo leploni shalom haTorah. Right. Look at his teachers. They're terrible. Right. Oylo la'aviv shalom do Torah. Oylo la'rabo shalom do Torah. Ploni shalom do Torah. Ro kamem kol masav. This is what somebody who's in yeshiva does. Look how terrible he is. V'cham mukura in drachav. He's a terrible person. Well, of a custom of Omer and the pasuk about this person is not as nice. We just finished. Finish source two. Yeah. So just to take a step back for a second. What do we see from this Gemara? See a few things. If you want to analyze, what's your definition of chilul Hashem? So personal, subjective, right? There's some level of subjectivity here. There's no clear criteria as to what is considered a Chilul Hashem. This goes back to what we spoke about all the way in the beginning of the Pirkei Avos Shirim, I think the first year, is that when it comes to these types of concepts, it's not like kashrus where it's like clear, you do this, and then you have to fix it with this, and then you have to clean it with this, and then, right? When it comes to Chilul Hashem, the criteria is more subjective, and we don't have a delineation of X, Y, and Z. It's more broad categories, and the application depends on the person. So that's one thing that we see from this. What else do we see from this? What is the criteria of Chilul Hashem? The main part of Chilul Hashem is? So that's the subjectivity. So it depends on the level of the person, right? If we have no expectations for you, then we have no expectations for you. It's not a Chilul Hashem, right? But what is it? It's inherently a social phenomenon. It's right? It's inherently about other people seeing. Right, so this is where our conception of Chilul Hashem comes from this Gemara and sources like this, that Chilul Hashem is about how other people see us. So two things we learn that are important moving forward: it's about other people, and it's subjective. So that brings us back to our question from our Mishnah: how can our Mishnah have this category of Chilul Hashem in private if nobody else sees it? So nobody's going to say, "Wow, that guy's teachers are so bad, and their parents are so bad." Right? They're not going to know. So why is that called a Chilul Hashem? Look at source number 3 all the way on the bottom of the page. Okay, you could say it's for Hashem and not for other people, but it doesn't say that. Right? It's as of right now, every category, every understanding of Chilul Hashem we have is not about you being Adam L'makom. It's about being Adam L'chavero. It's about what other people see and other people say. It's a social problem. It's not an interpersonal problem with God. Right? So now look at source number 3. Rashi spells out one of the problems with Chilul Hashem. So it's one thing to say it's social, but what is the problem? Why is it such a big deal? So Chilul Hashem, Adam Gadol, Shebnei Adam Limudim Hemanu, Ve'eno Nizer B'masav. What you see from all of these examples in the Gemara is that we're talking about somebody who's on a high level, and people generally will be looking up to that person. Nimsa'u haktana mizalzim b'torah yado. But now that they look up to that person, they say, wow, he's not such an ethical person. He's not such a nice person. He's not a great person at all. So I'm going to learn from his actions, and then I'm going to be bad. So the Chilul Hashem here is that the role model is creating more and more and more people not following what Hashem wants us to follow. The Omrim Zeu Maven Shein Mamish B'Torah Mitzvos. Torah Mitzvos, those are nothing. We don't care about those. Look at this guy. He's so respected, but he doesn't care about it either. The Nimsa Hashem Mischala. So Hashem, why Hashem? Because the whole concept of Torah Mitzvos is being put down. Nobody cares about it. And Nasa Dvar of Chulin, and Hashem's words of Holy Torah that we're supposed to be following, is now thrown to the ground. Nobody cares about it because this well-respected person isn't doing the right thing. So what we want to know is how does that apply to, does it, and I guess to add a third question besides for subjective and social, third question is, does this apply to any of us? Right? Well, I don't know. So far, right?
I mean, anybody who walks around with a yarmulke is a deputy in the minds of the whole world.
So I would say you're channeling your fourth grade Rebbe. Before you used to go on trips, and they said when you're on the bus, you know, you're wearing a yarmulke, you're a orla goyim, everybody's going to be judging you. And I agree with that. That's not what this said, right? This said you're a person of stature, and younger, more impressionable people will learn from your actions. And that's how Chilul Hashem is going to happen, because then now those young people aren't going to be from anything.
That's not a much
right?
Going.
That what you're thinking of is those other people in the world are going to look at me and say, "Oh, look at that guy. Look at that yarmulke. Look at that. He doesn't care." And that would, in theory, that could lead to them saying, you know, Chilul Hashem. But my point is that as of right now, we haven't seen that. That's not the paradigm in the sources. The sources is that it's somebody of stature. And as much as other people might say, he's, you know, it's hard to say this 12-year-old kid is a person of stature, so we're going to look up to him. And they're not looking up to you and saying, now I'm going to follow your actions. They're just putting you down. That's the difference. You can call that Chilul Hashem, and we do call that Chilul Hashem. It's just not the Chilul Hashem that's in the Gemara as of this point.
So you're basically saying that this is really referring within the Jewish community of people who are going to learn and then either practice or not practice.
That,
they look up to this person.
Correct.
I'm basically saying
the world
and the guy and everybody else.
Respect
people. Correct. And I'm not saying those are not concepts of Chilul Hashem, but it's not what we've seen until this point. It's not what he's talking about. So it might be an extension, or it might be a misuse for a. I'm not saying therefore you should misbehave on trips because it's it's not a good thing. It's not necessarily the classic Chilul Hashem that we're talking about. It's not what they're talking about. And there's, I think that's an important distinction, at least in our heads. Again, we're not done talking about the whole subject, right? But it's, you know, if you tell a kid, if you're rowdy on the bus, right? If you scream loudly, that's a Chilul Hashem. And the next day they go into class like, what's a Chilul Hashem? Chilul Hashem is that you will never be forgiven until you die, right? And like this kid like yelled out the window like, go Yankees! And like, no, Chilul Hashem, like your life's over. That's a misuse. That's a chilul of Chilul Hashem, right? You're misusing Chilul Hashem, which could have negative ramifications in chinuch. So I think it is important to define our categories properly. So before we impose new Chilul Hashem things, let's see what the essence is, and then we'll see if we ad lib.
I did need my fourth grade rabbi.
Yeah, Barry.
Does anybody learn this Gemara differently, that the examples are not random, they're not personal, but subjective, that they actually represent categories, or to investigate that, we have a range of what Chilul Hashem is?
Okay.
We have either the fifth halachah.
Yeah, so that's a good segue. Flip the page. We're going to start with the Rambam here, okay? So the Rambam is a codifier of halacha. So he's going to look at Gemaras, he's going to look at statements in Chazal, and then he's not going to say the halacha is that if Rava went to the butcher, you know, that would be considered the Chilul Hashem. The Rambam doesn't care about Rava. The Rambam's telling us what are... Don't take that out of context. The Rambam, for his halakhic codification for the future of Klal Yisrael, doesn't care about what one guy did would be considered a Chilul Hashem for him in his time. The Rambam wants to tell us broadly what's a Chilul Hashem for everybody else, for all of us, for timeless, as Barry just pointed out. So let's see what the Rambam says. The Rambam's going to add something to our discussion as of right now in these two halakhos. Kol ha'over midaito, the low onus, al achas mikol mitzvos hamuras b'torah, b'shas b'nefesh l'hachas harezim chalal Hashem. So the Rambam adds a category that was not inherent in the Gemara, and that is that if I violate a halachic principle, I wasn't forced to, but I violated it, no matter what the mitzvah is, I did it in order to anger God because I don't care. That's definitionally a Chilul Hashem. Now, he hasn't said anything yet until if it's private or public, but if I do any Avera and I violate it, Lahachis, to anger God, that's considered a Chilul Hashem. Lefichach, Nemar b'shvua sheker, v'chilalta Hashem elokecha ani Hashem, v'im avar ba'asara mi'Yisrael harei zechilas Hashem b'rabim. So now we have a second category here. If there's 10 people there, then it's a Chilul Hashem in public. Now, we want to know, okay, so if I did it by myself with nobody there, so we want to know, is that a Chilul Hashem at all? Then we have a second category of, let's say there's one other person there, so that's a Chilul Hashem, but that's not Chilul, even though it's public, it's not Chilul Hashem berabin. There's an added problem when it's more of a congregation of 10 people. V'chein kol ha'poresh ma'avera, O asa mitzvah lo mipnei davar ba'olam lo pachad v'lo yirav lo levakesh kavod el mipnei abori baruch hu kiminias Yosef atzadik atzmo me'eshes rabo areza mekadesh es Hashem. Then on the flip side, positive note, if you do something, a mitzvah, just for the sake of doing the mitzvah, then that's a kiddush Hashem. If you're doing it for other reasons, for kavod, or because you're getting money out of it, so that's not a kiddush Hashem. You get the mitzvah, but that's not a kiddush Hashem. If you do it for the sake of Hashem, that's considered a Kiddush Hashem. So the Rambam does introduce a new category here, where what is a Kiddush Hashem and a Chilul Hashem? Right, if you would put it into one word, what's important? The intent, the motivation, the motive. That's also a chiddush as of what we've seen until this part. Because who cares what your motive is, per se? Is it public? Is it not public? Are you denigrating God? Are people looking at you and saying, I don't care about davening or learning or Torah? So this has nothing to do with that. This has to do with your internal motive. Lahachis, chil Hashem. You want to do it for the right reasons, it's a kiddush Hashem. Okay, so keep going. Next halacha. V'yesh dvarim acherim, shehein b'chlal chil Hashem. So Rambam says, there are other things that are considered chil Hashem. Vahu, Shiasa Osam Adam Gadol Bitora Umifur Sambachasidut, Dvarim Sharbrios Miranim Akhara Bishvilam. Things that people who are, what's the criteria here? What do I have to be? A Gadol Bitora Umifur Sambachasidus. So I have to be known as somebody who knows a lot of Torah, as well as somebody who's a pious person. But and then I do something that's a problem. So va'afa pisha einon averos, even if it's not a sin. And this brings us back to the Gemara. What they were doing is not necessarily a sin, not paying back right away. It's okay, you don't have to pay back right away. No, it's not a sin. It still can be considered a chilul Hashem. As example, she'en averos ha'reza chilul Hashem, kegon shalakach le'eno nosein d'mei ha'mekach le'alter. He starts giving examples from the Gemara, but he's broadening it to categories. As an example, I take something and I don't pay right away. Vushieshlo, assuming you have it, v'nimsu amochim tovim v'umakipa, and they ask you for it and you're avoiding it. Right, so that's the problem. It's not necessarily, you know, might not be categorized as a full-fledged sin, but that's a problem. That's not ethical. That's not honest. So that's a chilul Hashem if you're an adam gadol. O sheyarbe b'schoko b'achila b'shtia etzel ame aretz uveneyen. Or, for this Adam Gadol, to laugh too much, have too much of a good time, eating, drinking, hanging out with ame aretz, with the common folk, that's considered the chilul Hashem. That's beneath his Torah dignity, if you will. O shedibru amabrios eino b'nachas, or you talk not nicely to other people. You don't smile when you greet them. You don't have a positive affect when interpersonally. You're always angry, running around, fighting, argumentative. Meaning this is not limited to these. You broaden the categories. These are just examples. Everything depends on subjectively. The chacham has to be extra careful, and that's going to be important later on. He has to be medaktik al atzmo. He has to have forethought, has to have self-awareness as to what his actions are doing, and he has to go beyond the letter of the law. This isn't about din, it's not about law, it's about going beyond the letter of the law. And now the flip is if you do this, if you are, this is the Kiddush Hashem, right? You're nice, you're sweet, you're ethical, you're also a Talmud, you're a Talmud Chacham, and you do all that, then that's a Kiddush Hashem. That's awesome. You can read that the rest on your own, if you want. So now, our question still becomes, I think that sort of answers your question to some extent, is that here are some categories. It's not limited to this. It depends on each person to figure it out on their own as to what aspects of their behavior would be considered a chilul Hashem. So you have some guidelines. It's not just about these examples, but the examples in the Gemara give you the broad principles. Yeah. Correct.
And I don't think that we think in terms of chilul Hashem within the Jewish community. And we hear stories of Kiddush Hashem of somebody who does something amazing in front of a non-religious Jew and that turns the guy around and that they become religious. Or there's plenty of other stories of somebody behaving badly and somebody, like you said, leaving the proper there. But we don't think of all of that in terms of chilul Hashem within the Jewish community. And I think that's what they're talking about.
correct, and I think that's part of the essence of what we're trying to get at here, is that the concept of Kiddush Hashem, let's flip it on the Kiddush Hashem side. That you're actually, if you act as a role model, if people look up to you and say, wow, I want to be like her, I want to be like him, because they're such nice people and they know so much Torah, that's a Kiddush Hashem. Forget about other nations. Forget about it's people looking at you as a role model and saying, I want to be like that person. That's a Kiddush Hashem. I don't want to be like that person. That's a Chilul Hashem. Right? Forget about everybody else. It's all it's in this room. That's it. Yeah. So that's what we started talking about with Chaim. Meaning, does this apply to all of us? Meaning, to what extent do we make a leap and say, well, I'm a role model for somebody, right? I'm a role model for my classroom. I'm a role model for my kids. I'm a role model for the community, even if I'm not a gadol, a chacham, right? So meaning, can we, I don't know if I would want this responsibility, but can we usurp the Kiddush Hashem versus Chilul Hashem for ourselves and say that there's somebody that we're all like that. We all have to be careful about what we do because people look up to us. So I think the answer is, perhaps, you can look at yourself like that. The real question is, do other people look at you like that? So meaning, if you do something wrong, people are like, I don't care, like who's he, who's she, like that. So that's definitionally not going to be a Kiddush Hashem or a Chilul Hashem. If you do something, but if they say, yes, I want to be like that person, then you do have that. So maybe it's sort of this, it's reality that may or may not exist as to whether or not people look up to you or not. If they do, then maybe you. Because then it has nothing to do with the Kiddush Hashem or Chilul Hashem. Right? So far, what we've seen, maybe there are other examples, but so far what we've seen with Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem is definitionally it has to do with role models. It has to do with people looking up to you and making a decision, should I follow in that person's footsteps or not? If you want to broaden what Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem is to all these other things that have been thrown out, then fine, sure. The third grade kid on the bus or the fourth grade kid is also in the concept of Chilul and Kiddush Hashem. But that's not what we're talking about here. Right? So, you have something?
I was going to say that in a sense, any teacher, any counselor, as you said it, but now also, it doesn't matter. You don't, not necessarily acting to be a role model. Isn't the whole idea of yourself to be the best person you can be? And therefore, you need to do whatever it is the right way because you don't know that somebody else could
Correct. So I think that's a fair way of saying it. Meaning, if you want to say that we all potentially role models, but we're not sure. Again, the only way we would know is if we heard somebody say, wow, look at what they did. Now I'm not going to do that, or I'm going to do whatever. That would be the only way we'd know. If you want to be sort of machmir on that and assume that that people are watching me and people are going to learn from my behavior, then go ahead. Right, because you don't know, and for sure, I mean, you hear stories about people who you might not think that you're anybody, and then you hear somebody next door, or somebody tells your friend, like, they look up to you, and they're like, you're that role model because you know how to read Hebrew, like in that, and you're like, what? Like, why does that make me a role model? But to them, you're like, wow, that person can read a pasuk, so that's they're my Talmud Chacham. They're my right. Okay. So now, last point that we're going to go. Yeah.
Why do we call it Chilul Hashem and not Chilul Ha'adam? If I misbehave or something, it's me.
Right. So that's what Rashi was alluding to that in source number 3, saying the fact that people now stop doing mitzvos, then Hashem, in totality, his way. It's both, right? So it could be behavior, it could be mitzvah. I mean, the Rambam here says it doesn't have to be a mitzvah. But the Rashi's point from before, and I think it's true, is that the broader piece here is that people are going to stop following the Torah. So Hashem's name is Mechalel. Now, you could get into a whole concept of what does that mean, the shame of Hashem. Right? What does the name of Hashem mean? Rabbi Liebtag has a nice development about this. What the shame? If you go throughout Chumash and Chazal, it's Shmi, shame. It's all about the name. What is the name of Hashem? We're not dealing with that now, so you'll have to leave that up. Okay, so let's keep going. Let's skip source number 5 for now. Look at source number 6. So Tiferes Yisrael, I think, is going to help us a little bit in understanding, bringing this down to our Mishnah. Maybe we'll get back to five later, but probably not. Source number six. Tiferes Yisrael. Nifra'im yimena begalui. So he says here, Beis mine mechalale Hashem ninhu. Makes it easy for us. There's two categories of Chilul Hashem. Our Mishnah is dealing with only one of them. What are the two categories? Aleph. There are. Aleph. Ha'over avera b'far hesia afilu lite avon. If you violate an avera in public, even if you're just doing it because you enjoy doing it, dal kopani mechalalu mekel kvod shmo yisparach al yidei zeh, by doing this, even though you succumbed to weakness, you didn't do it because lahakas to get, to show God who's boss. You just did it because you were weak in the moment, but it's in public. That is a chil Hashem because your mekel kvod shmo yisparach al yidei zeh. Hashem's glory is weakened because of that, because other people are seeing it. Shemagid lakol she'enu choshesh letzivuyav. You're basically stating, proclaiming that I don't care about God's commandments. Even if you did it because of your yitzhar, al kopanim hayol lasos b'seiser, you should have controlled yourself at least to go into the private room. Don't do it in public if you can't control yourself. The lachush al kavod kono, you should worry about God's glory. The lolachal, third line, the lolachal shmo yisparak b'far hesia, you should not disgrace God's name in public. V'zechil Hashem etra filu b'tzad the gamor. This could apply to even if somebody's completely righteous. V'lefigadlo yodea she'ene akol sofes alav. It would apply even the more so to somebody who's so righteous because everybody's looking at him. He's a role model or her. L'fichach tzarech lihishamer gam min hadom elachir. So now you have to be even more careful if you're somebody who's a role model. So now he's actually helped us. Because he's given us, even though he says this is one category, he's helped us understand this category. When it comes to public defamation of Hashem's name, we are all in the parsha, if you will. If we do a sin in public, he's saying that's automatically a chilul Hashem, I don't care who you are. Sin. But if you are a role model, then you have to go even above and beyond. Even if it's not a sin, you have to be extra careful. Those were the examples in the Gemara. So now he's really making this harder on us. Because you could have said, I'm opting out. I'm not a role model. I don't care. So Chilul Hashem doesn't apply to me. He says, no. That role model idea is only if it's something that's sort of a super extra ethical thing that you should be extra careful about because you're a role model. But as a regular sin, anybody who does a sin in public is an automatic Chilul Hashem. Okay? Sure. And this is the category that we're talking about in the Gemara, where it's talking about these super ethical role models in the Gemara. So you have your case of Rava, you have your case of Rav Yochanan. Next line, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 line. But there's another category. And that's what we're talking about in this Mishnah. So we have a category of Chilul Hashem that's a public Chilul Hashem, but put that in parentheses, because that's not what we're talking about here. Here we're talking about a different category of Chilul Hashem. What's that? V'chli aigav n'mayri tana hacha, da'ainu sheb'emes ein pachad alokim neged einam. I don't care about God at all. I'm not worried. I'm not afraid. K'minin v'apikorsin sheover maveros b'yad ramah b'seser afilu b'li shum hana. These are people who are, they're heretics. They violate averos. They don't even care. It's not like they were the desire, the Yetzer Hara, the passion overtook them. They just couldn't care less. So even if they're in their kitchen and they're like, you know what, I'm going to eat this lobster just because I don't care what God wants me to do. That's a Chilul Hashem, even if nobody knows about it. Ki machish sheyesh eloka nimsa. You are saying that God doesn't exist. O sheyesh Torah mishamayim, or you're saying God didn't give us the Torah. O bashkach, or he doesn't care about what I do. O bischar va'onish kedom, but there's no reward and punishment. These are big, big beliefs that you're violating. V'apapichein eino chote begaloi, even though you're not doing it in public. Midechoshesh l'chvod atzmo, ki rotze l'hachzik es atzmo tzadik. V'lachein lo dami l'shar chote b'seser, kishetak po yitzro. This is nothing to do with somebody, if you sin, because of the Yetzer Hara, desire in private, that's a sin, but it's not a Chilul Hashem. But this, if you do on purpose, as this is the Rambam's category of lahachas, you're doing this lahachas to show God that you're boss, that you don't care about him, that's a Chilul Hashem, even if it's in private. Right? Shavem is Koshon HaTorah, so Kal Be'enav, second to last line, Ufoshe Flafav Kechazir, Zeu Achonef Amiti, you're saying, I don't care, you're being boastful, V'lachen Yanshuhu Begalui, your disgrace, your downfall, as the Mishnah said, we're going to take back, we're going to pay you back, God's going to pay you back in public. Even though you sinned in private, the payback's in public. Leman Yedu Akol Shehi Rasha Mukhlat, so everybody knows that this person's Rasha, because she is Galgal, she is Galam, it's Vasa Le'enei HaShemesh, when it becomes clear that this person did something in the light of day.
This category really gets the Mishnah.
This does? This is the Mishnah. Right, that's what he's saying. He's saying this is what the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah is talking about somebody, this is what the Tiferes Yisrael is telling us. There is a category of Chilul Hashem that has to do with public. That's not what our mission is talking about. Our mission is talking about somebody who sins in private, lahachas, to show God, I don't care about you. That person will get punished in public. Even though he tried to do it in private, doesn't matter. Everybody's going to know how bad of a person you are. It's going to happen. It's going to happen in public. Yeah.
But does that person really care? It seems like they adopted
it. So it depends what the punishment is. Meaning, even if somebody who doesn't care, if they're embarrassed, if they're, you know, if everything they've done is... Correct. So this is a broader discussion as to whether or not this category fits. Let's say somebody grew up and they have no idea anything about Torah, they have no idea anything about anything. So that's not who we're talking about. We're talking about people who know, who grew up, and then they throw it away. So you'll say they don't care. So they might not care, but the Mishnah is saying they should care, and there's going to be some punishment, some embarrassment. Again, we're talking about punishment. When it comes to punishment, I don't fully know how it works. Whether or not this guy, it's going to be clear to him that what he's doing is wrong because of what because he doesn't care about God, I don't know. But as a general rule, this is what the idea is, that the Tana is trying to tell us, is that you think you're in private, eventually it's going to come out to haunt you in public somehow. Somehow. I don't know exactly how.
So
but somehow.
Is that supposed to be a deterrent to the person because are they really learning this or are they really caring about
it? It is supposed to be a deterrent, assuming they're learning it. I mean, you're right. There are people out there who don't know anything, they don't care about anything, they never learned anything. Then they don't care. So what are you going to do? Right. So you're right. This Mishnah is not that. To make your question, I think even stronger is. What now the question becomes, why is this not important?
Why is this in here?
Why is this in Pirkei Avos?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Meaning the point of Pirkei Avos, if our starting point, if you remember from 2 years ago, Pirkei Avos is about laws that have to do with people of piety. People who are trying to aspire for higher levels of greatness. Your question now is, if we're going to go with the Tiferes Yisrael, that we're talking about somebody who's doing this lahachas, then not only will they care, I think more importantly for us is, why is this here?
They won't care. It's lahachas.
But it's not just that they don't... this message, you're in the class, you know, your top class with your top people, and everybody's like learning how to become pious, and you're like, okay, if you do this lahachis, you're gonna go down. Like, what are you talking to me? I'm a nice kid. What do you want from me? Right? If it's about be careful about your piety because everybody's looking at you, that makes sense, right? But if it's about lahachis, then the place here doesn't fully make sense. Sorry, yeah.
No, first of all, you have to think of this as a starting point. What is the word halal? And it goes very well with what Maharal said. The word halal means the absence of, it means a space. It's someone that without God, Chilul Hashem, halal, the space. So without having God with you as part of your life, there is no Pirkei Avos, there is no Midot, because we all assume the position of the Midot, even if they're rational, it all comes from God. When we discuss that universalist aspect of the Midot, or is it something that is given by the Torah? But if you look at it all together, without this, you don't have anything else.
if the message is a more broad message of, you know, what you do in private should, you know, should be authentic and it should reflect the public, I think you're right. It's not like it's impossible to fit here, but I think it is a good question, is that the way he's presenting it is that you're doing it lahachis, it doesn't really fit with our aspirations of piety, if you will.
What if the person is pious to the public? Privately, he's doing it.
So that could be true. Meaning that, so the person, he's in the shir, he's pious to everybody else, but at home he's locked because he couldn't care less because he's doing it for ulterior motives. That could be one way around it. Okay, so let's let somebody give me a time and let's decide how much we're doing here.
I have a question.
Yes.
Yeah. So Terry Strauss is basically saying that a lack of Yirat Hashem is what's leading him to Hashem. Right? Am I understanding?
It's more than just a lack of Yirat Hashem, but fine. Meaning it's I don't have Yira and I want to get back at it. Like I just like.
Right. So the conversion should be that Yirat Hashem leads to Kiddush Hashem, right?
Presumably, I mean Yirat Hashem is going to motivate better behavior.
So my question goes back to the beginning of the Rambam in the first paragraph, when he says, when he's talking about Kiddush Hashem, and he's saying, but it's not something that's influenced by Pachad or by Yira. So if
no, Yira doesn't mean Yira. He doesn't mean Yiras Hashem. He means Yiras. You're going to get fired if you don't do this. Yiras Hashem is a fine motivator to be Kiddush Hashem. Right? If you do it from Abbas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, those are fair game. Those are good things to have. When he says Yira, he means Yira of punishment of some sort or Yira of consequences in this world. Okay. All right. So let's spend a few more minutes on this. Flip. Go to the other page, the second page. So where it says sources 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. We're obviously not going to do all this. Is this worth splitting into 2 weeks? I did not think we were going to do 2 weeks on this, but do you want to do this? Do you guys like want to learn about this more? Or
yeah?
Yeah? I thought this would be a one and done. Okay, so then I won't try to rush it because there's a lot here. So let's do one or two more things and then we'll pick up next week with the rest. Lots of time. Two weeks. Next week. Pick up next week. Okay. So let's see. Let's go to source 10. Source 10 is the Rambam. Okay, it's on the bottom of the page. And this is another question we're gonna address now. Is what is the second half of this? I know there's still more things we have to address, but I'm just doing a little triage here to set up for next week. Remember, one of our questions is, what does it mean that Echad Shogeg Vechad Mezid? First of all, why is it fair if I do it by accident versus on purpose? I did it by accident. What is unintentional? Why are you saying that it's the same as doing it by Mezid? And then more importantly is, what do you mean it's the same? It's the same for the purposes of what? Right? So look at the Rambam here. Look at the second line. Towards the end of the line after the period. He says, Va'amnam kavanaso kan shechilul Hashem bein shahaya b'mezid o b'shogeg. When it comes to chilul Hashem, whether you did it on purpose or by accident or unintentionally, b'galui nifra'in mimenu alav. The consequence is going to happen in public. Im haya mezid, ashmas mezid. V'im haya shogeg, ashmas shogeg. The punishment, the severity of the punishment will be different. So meaning you don't get punished for the severity of mezid by shogeg. That's one way of understanding it, that the severity of the punishment is the same. And that's not fair. I didn't do it on purpose. So why are you telling me the severity is the same? So I'm saying it's not, the severity is not the same. What's the same here? The fact that it'll be in public. Okay, the fact that you'll be paid back in public is going to be the same. The point is that it's going to be in public. So now, we're going to see other people disagree with this, but there's one fundamental question if we take this Rambam piggying back off of Tiferes Yisrael. What did the Tiferes Yisrael say Chilul Hashem in this context means? The last source that we did before the Rambam. What's Chilul Hashem? Lahachas. So what does that mean that you do something lahachis b'shogeg? You do something to anger God by unintentionally. But if we set, if the whole point is that it's a motivation, then it doesn't make sense, right? So now, to be clear, the Tiferes on the Rambam could be saying different things, but my point here is that we have to understand each one now based on what we're talking about, because now we're mixing and matching categories, right? The Rambam's Chilul Hashem doesn't sound to be talking about Lahafis. He sounds to be talking about more of what? Well, it could be Mazed or Shogeg. But it can't be lahachas, because you can't have a shogeg lahachas, presumably. So then, but then what are we talking about? So what's the chilul hashem?
But isn't mazer always in the way lahachas?
No, because maybe somebody's, they're just doing something that reflects badly on the person Jews, Judaism, and God.
So mazer isn't always lahachas, because you could do it mazig for teyavim. So meaning if the Yetzirah overcomes me and I decide, that's it, I'm just gonna do it. Not because I want to anger God, but just because I it's a moment of weakness. So I'm doing it b'mezid. I'm conscious of what I'm doing. I'm doing it intentionally, but I'm doing it, you know, but not lahachas. It's late.
I'm not doing it because I
want to
get out of anger. I'm doing it because I have that coffee and I have that coffee. And McDonald's is the only place here. So it's amazing that I'm doing it.
Coffee. I'd say the cheeseburger, but yeah. But either way, so right. Okay, that Mara Sain question. Sure. Okay. So I think we'll leave this as a cliffhanger. And what I'm gonna do for next week is I may reorganize some of these sources to make it a little bit more clear, because the way that through the questions the direction went is a little bit different than I originally planned. So if we're gonna start from next week, I'll reorganize things a little bit, and we'll address some of these questions to try to have a little bit of better clarity as to what the Chilul Hashem in the Mishnah is talking about according to the different commentaries. Okay. Thank you. We'll see you next week. Benching.
Hey Jake, I'll see you later.
You have 10.
From a sign of our age.